So, hi, it's Joe Peters, and I'm sitting here with Jan Holmstrup. I'm learning how to say her name. Say hello, Jan.
Hello.
Hey, oops. Oh, well, we're going to deal with it that way,
okay.
I guess.
Okay.
We're set to go. They've asked me before we get started to give you a little about the weather, and I will do that and be right back.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunted In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunted In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Hey, so it's Joe Peters and weather. We're coming off the official Android weather report from my Note 9, and we're sitting in scenic downtown Flemington. It's a little after 4 o'clock, and today's date is the 13th. It is Tuesday the 13th, and I've got Jan Holmstrup with me. Weather report right now, it looks like we're about 38 degrees. It doesn't feel that warm, but it doesn't feel like it's freezing, so it must be correct. It depends on the wind. It's going to be 25 tonight. Tomorrow, Wednesday. Oh, wait. Today's the 12th. So tomorrow is Wednesday the 13th. It's going to go up to 50 degrees. That's good news. Thursday, it just seems abnormally warm. It says it's going to be in the 60s, and that's for our area. So a little bit of rain coming in on Friday, and then we're back to seasonal weather again. So, Joe Peters, I'm going to give you a little bit of information about myself, and then we're going to get going.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Hey, it's Joe Peters once again with Jan Holmstrup. Jan Holmstrup, I've got to learn how to say that name. Jan, say hello again. Let me check the volume level.
Hello. That's great, Joe.
So Jan is for Raritan Valley Habitat for Humanity. And Raritan Valley usually means it covers Hunterdon and Somerset. Is that
that's
the case?
That's it, exactly.
Okay, so Hunterdon doesn't have its own Habitat for Humanity. Yours covers both.
Covers the region. Yes,
okay.
That's correct.
And is there any other counties included, or is it just those two?
No, in the Raritan Valley affiliate, it's Hunterdon and Somerset counties. Yes.
So I know the workforce development's the same way. So good. Because I didn't know, everybody sort of knows what Habitat for Humanity is, mm-hmm. but I realized I didn't know a lot of it. So I watched a couple of YouTube videos, and everybody was pitching their little corner of the country trying to understand what it is. So from my limited 12 minutes of education on YouTube, which doesn't mean it's accurate, this is say it's on the internet, it's got to be accurate. Not necessarily. It sounds like it's for income-challenged people, and as a result, the person who is the recipient of the Habitat for Humanity work, we've got a bell ringing in the background here, takes out a mortgage and owns the home.
That's correct.
So they're a stakeholder, and it's not like Habitat, and that was a misconception I did, built a house and gave it to somebody.
Yes, yes, and I think many people share that that misconception. It's easy to understand that.
Okay.
It's called a partnership housing model, Joe, and this is a really fundamental piece of our program, and I think key to our success is that homeowners are involved throughout the process in building their home, in getting engaged with the community, working alongside the community to build the home. So they're invested in their home. Habitat has an expression which is, we give a hand up, not a handout.
Well, that's a great way of looking at it. So I can remember Jimmy Carter was big on all of this. He guess was one of your forerunners. Everybody mentions the two people in 76 that kicked it off, and that's easy to read about. Two very wealthy people got involved and got this project started. But right now, it's in every state of the nation, it looks like.
Yes, it is. There are about 1,200 affiliates across the country and also affiliates in 70 countries internationally. So we, Raritan Valley Habitat, supports the local community as well as we make a gift every year to the country of Nepal. So we send 10% of our unrestricted donations to Habitat of Nepal to help them, and that money goes a long way.
And how did you pick them out that they're the recipient?
You know, I honestly don't know. This was done about 10 years ago, prior to my time.
Yep.
I think it was probably shortly after a natural disaster. They had earthquakes and so forth, and it is just absolutely emergency shelter that often the money goes towards, and I believe that might have motivated the
So let's talk a little about your background and come forward. You are involved with Habitat today. What did you do before Habitat came
along? I was involved locally here in Hunterdon County at Anderson House.
Oh, okay.
Halfway House for Women Recovering from Drug Addiction.
Yes, yes, yes. Cindy Shaskos, I used to work with, was very involved.
Oh, yes.
Yes, Cindy and Bob, good friends of mine.
Yes, Cindy was the president of the board at one time.
Did not know that. Okay. I know she was involved. I know she was the president of the board. So you've been working with, these are non-for-profits, not-for-profit organizations, helping local community needs out. I know I was involved in Hunterdon Helpline for a couple of years on the board. I know my real estate entity, which is called Will Banker, belongs to Hunterdon Somerset Board of Realtors, which now just merged with, and I was on the board when this happened, merged with Mercer County.
Mm-hmm.
Now there's three counties called Cord Board of Realtors, and we're still talking a few other counties that may merge along with us. And I know they once a year do a Habitat project.
Yes, they do. They do.
And it's pretty well attended from what I hear.
Yes, we have a great group. I believe they were, we've been building in Somerset County, in Franklin Township. And the group has been coming, I think, every year. And last year they were at a building in Franklin Township, as well as we just started a new home in Franklin Township on Howard Avenue. So I believe you're on our list.
So how many projects a year do you do?
On average, we build about two homes a year.
Two homes a year. That's from scratch?
Yes. We're ramping up, and we're also taking new directions. So we, of course, land is scarce in New Jersey. So we have been constructing new homes on vacant property, but we're looking and we're working on a project now to finalize it, but to rehab an existing home.
Okay.
So and to put in a Habitat family, as well as, you know, any foreclosures and things like that lend themselves to that sort of activity, as well as we're formalizing a home repair and modification program that we've been doing. Our build crew, we have a steady volunteer build crew, comes out Wednesday, Thursday, Faithfuls, they're known as.
Faithfuls.
Yes, affectionately. And they have been doing this in between projects or on their own time, other days of the week, to help both nonprofits and individuals in the two counties with important repairs, ramps and things like that to help with access. So we're formalizing that program.
Okay.
And just now introducing it in a big way. So I want everyone to know that should you know of someone or you yourself personally need a ramp or grab bars, things to help with aging in place and access to a home.
Right.
We're really, the goal of the program is to keep people safely and comfortably in their homes.
Okay. So you're not just doing homes from the ground up, you're helping people improve their homes so they can stay in it.
Exactly.
And how do you select who you help? That's got to be a complex question.
Yes and no. The income guidelines
right.
are a key piece of that. We work with low and moderate income individuals as defined by both HUD and the state of New Jersey.
Okay.
So that's one criteria. The other is they need to be a permanent resident or a citizen
okay.
of the United States. They need to be willing to partner with us and get involved and invest 500 hours or more of their time
okay.
in building their home. And lastly, and perhaps you know very importantly, is the need.
Right.
They're currently living in either a dangerous, unsafe, unhealthy, overcrowded home, or they're rent burdened.
Right.
And by rent burdened, the federal government defines that as paying more than 30% of your income towards rent
gross
each
or
month.
Gross.
Gross
income.
Yes.
Yeah, I think
yes.
that's the federal.
And actually, there are 36% of households in Hunterdon County meet that criteria.
Isn't that
so
amazing?
There's the tremendous need.
That asks the ALICE program.
Thank you. I was okay. just going to mention it and say that the United Way of Hunterdon County
right.
has done a tremendous job
yeah.
over the years in educating us about the ALICE
well, Bonnie,
situation.
Well, Bonnie has been up here before.
I'm sure
and,
she has.
And I started 3 years ago and did the Leadership Hunterdon program. I got very involved, including with her program. And that's how I got on to Susan Lax's the Hunterdon Helpline. And then I got so much out of it, and I'm so involved in Somerset County, I just finished it with Somerset County.
Excellent.
And Somerset County was amazingly different than Hunterdon County.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, it's almost three times the size of
yes.
people and opportunity and land. But secondly, it's much closer to New York, and it's got more going on, and I'm here in Hunterdon County because Hunterdon County is what it is. It's a great standard of living, but if you're not looking for work, you're probably in the wrong county. You're probably
mm-hmm.
going to have to go to the east. I'm on the Diversity Council that the chamber runs in Somerset County. I'm also an ambassador for Somerset County's chamber, and we had somebody come in and talk to us about the minimum wage and what it would mean to Somerset County if it went to $11 an hour. And I'm saying that, well, you're talking about Somerset County like everybody works where they live, but we don't. We all go to the east to work for the most part and come back. We call it traffic. And people from Pennsylvania, two-thirds of Hunterdon's workforce is Pennsylvania because we pay mm-hmm. almost $2 an hour more minimum wage here, and there's more opportunity.
And it's less expensive to live.
Yes.
Oftentimes. That's a part of it, too.
So I do a lot of real estate presentations. As a matter of fact, I'm going to do one for the Wolf Foundation in May. And I always start by saying the real estate story in one sentence is that the millennials are headed towards New York, the seniors are headed towards Pennsylvania, and the prices in the middle are headed down a little bit, especially at the high end.
Mm-hmm.
And that's because it's pretty expensive to live here. And even as a millennial, I was just Mark Salix across the hall I was talking to when I came in. He's an Eagles fan. I'm a Giants fan, so I have a great rivalry going on. But he brings me up today on what's happening from an economic viewpoint. I lost my train of thought why I mentioned Mark's name, but he also tells me that we're witnessing a lot of regrowth in Hunterdon County along 78. We're seeing a growth in the 20 to 30 age population where we've been seeing a diminishing growth there. In the millennial workforce growth, we're actually seeing a net deficit if we didn't have immigration. So in Somerset County, if we didn't bring people in from out of the company mm-hmm. to work at Pharma, out of the country to work at Pharma, mm-hmm. we'd have minus in,
right.
in the workforce. So we have a very complex situation going on here,
yes.
But the interesting part is everybody's saying, oh, my God, the $11 an hour is going to put us all out of business. We're paying $13 an hour right now by de facto standard. Mm-hmm. So it's not an issue.
I think it will work itself out, absolutely. And what the statistics speak for themselves. And you mentioned the cost of living here. There are many, many jobs, both in Hunterdon and Somerset right. counties, that are minimum wage or just above.
Right.
Right. So in order for an individual or family to afford the rent, which fair market rent is for a two-bedroom, $1,895 a month.
Okay.
A family must work 3.8 full-time jobs in order to meet that and be able to put food on the table.
At the minimum wage.
Right. So you know, without a rise in minimum wage, we're going to be, you know, but in any case, I don't want to go there, but I think it is very important, and it does point to the fact that the people we work with, the ALICE population you mentioned, which is ALICE,
right.
Asset Limited Income Constrained Employed,
right?
Those are exactly the people that would qualify for Habitat.
Okay.
So you mentioned that, yes, we do extend a mortgage. So we're working with people who have a steady income. These are people who really are motivated to improve their circumstance down the road, have a better life for their children,
mm-hmm.
and they're willing to invest in doing that. So it's many people, you know, have this idea of low and moderate income people. We put labels on people, unfortunately. I guess in some ways it's necessary for the federal guidelines and whatnot. But these are very motivated people, and they are paying a mortgage. So we help them with budgeting. We help them from the very beginning on, and they need to take courses in order to qualify and remain qualified. So we're really building financial stability and a better future for their children.
So both of Bonnie's organization and the same organization for United Way and Somerset start you with the little bingo card and the chips, and you've got to allocate the chips.
Oh, yes, yes.
It's a wonder. Everybody should go through that example. And a lot of the people in Somerset County that were in a leadership program were in social services. So when we got down to health care, there were only three or four chips for that line. And to have decent health care, you almost needed all four chips and insurance. They're saying, well, that'll have to come first. That'll come before a car and food. I said, no, it's going to come dead last because they can go to the hospital and get it for free. It's not what they're thinking about. They're thinking about how do I earn a living, and it's amazing how the public sector and the non-public sector look at the same problem.
Yes, yes.
And I'm not sure I'm 100% correct, but I know that healthcare is not a high when you're 30 years old. You think you're invincible.
No. But housing, right? Housing is absolutely
everybody's got to have
a basic.
That's where landlords come into play. Landlords, if you sit at the red light, and it's not a lot of public telephones anymore, but you see somebody going to the public telephone to make a phone call, that's an ALICE individual. Because what they probably can't do is afford to have a phone in their own house today. It's a cell phone instead of a landline. But they also probably are not getting a full 40 hours off of work where they're working.
Mm-hmm.
And they're probably using public transportation and don't have a computer or the internet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not looking down, but they're living from hand to mouth because they can never get ahead of the game.
That's right. That's right. And with the Habitat program, someone paying $1,695 a month, right, for a two-bedroom
yeah.
apartment will, on average, pay about $850 a month for their home.
That's
mortgage
amazing.
Payment, including mortgage, there's no interest, there's 0% interest, but
okay.
Insurance and taxes.
Who mortgage?
About $800 or $900. We do. We're a lender.
You're a lender. So
yes.
Is it a USDA program?
Yes.
Or?
No, it's a Habitat.
Habitat program. Interesting.
Yes. It's Habitat.
So
we extend a mortgage.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
Because the interest is usually 3/4 of your payment.
Right, right. 0% interest, no down payment.
Wow.
The down payment is all of the work that they put into building their home.
So you must have a long list of people who would like you to help them.
We do have a long list of people. But, again, some people think I'm going to be handed a home. There's
right.
nothing involved. Some people can't possibly put the time in.
Right.
So, you know, we do find, however, that there is a group that then it's a lottery system. And this is all governed by the Fair Share Housing
okay.
and affordable housing regulations
right.
that within the state. So then it's a lottery, because unfortunately, okay, right now we have more people, right, than homes that we're building at the time.
Right.
So our affiliate's goal is to double our output, and at least to build four homes a year. And we're looking to do more, but that's our short-term goal, and we're well on our way.
So take me through the life cycle of a transaction. Somebody comes to you and says, I'd like to get on this list.
Yes.
And then they're placed on a list, and I'll let you take it from there.
Yes. If anyone is interested, they can call our office, go on our website, give us their email address,
okay,
and we will add them to the list of notification of when we have an orientation session or an information session. They're required to come to that, where we explain the whole process.
Right.
It's an application process, much like you're familiar if you've taken out a mortgage.
Right.
Much like that. So the documentation, there's a lot of work involved.
Yep.
So again, these are people have to be motivated and willing to do the work behind it. And it's submitting the documentation needed. We have a family support committee, a family selection and support committee, and they will actually go and visit the homeowner. But in this orientation set, we explain everything. And you find that some people will remain and some,
right,
will not, for various,
right,
reasons,
right,
of course. But we help them through the application process. They meet and we're interviewed by our selection members of the selection committee. And then recommendations are made to the board, those people that meet all the criteria. And then we work with the certifying agency for that particular municipality.
Okay.
In the case of Franklin Township, Somerset County, it's Central Jersey Housing Resource Center.
All right.
So they will actually do the selection.
Okay.
In accordance with all of
the selection
affordable
for
housing guidelines.
The
yes, and these are homes that then become part of the affordable housing inventory,
okay,
for that municipality.
Now, the alternative for these people is to go into affordable housing itself, which means you pay full market value in affordable housing.
Well, these are affordable homes.
Right.
If they're in other affordable units, they're renting.
They're renting.
Yes,
that's
they're renting.
I left that,
yes,
word out.
They're
so
renting.
They may be paying a $1,600, or I believe here it's roughly $1,250 for,
okay,
a two-bedroom in Somerset. But there's
for affordable. Okay.
So, but
that's still a lot of money.
Still can't be more than 30% of your gross. And if you need help, then it becomes Section 8, I guess, beyond that. If,
right,
you can't even make that happen.
Right.
But what your program does is say, rather than pay the $1,200, you can and rent and never own and not maybe live where you want, you can be one of the two people this year that we select. It's going to be four eventually. And we can go through this whole process, and you own your own home, and it's even less money.
Yes. And in terms of building, as I say, the family gets involved. We engage the whole community.
Right.
So there's so many benefits also to the community. And we've been embraced by communities that want us to come back and work with them because it engages the whole community.
Right.
And the family that moves in knows the community, has felt the love and the caring of the community,
right,
and has given back to the community by working alongside,
okay,
those community volunteers who come to a Habitat
so
site.
So all the hours that go into building one of these two houses, 500 is 5%, 100%? How much? What percent? A small percentage.
I wish I could answer that, Joe. I'll have to,
yeah,
get back with you on that.
That's fine.
There are many, many hours
I would put in
to build a home. Absolutely.
I would think, because I know when the realtors go, there's 30 or 40 people go and work an eight-hour day, and some of the people go back on the weekend to help finish up. And
that's
that adds,
right,
up to probably more than the 500 hours the person is putting in.
I will get that from our construction director.
Wow.
And I'll mail that to you.
So, process-wise, time-wise, so they made the application, they've got to go through the education, they've got to go through the selection, they've got to go through. How long does it take from the day they apply to the day that they're one of the two people who get the key to their house?
Probably 12 to 18 months.
So it's a long process.
It is not a short-term solution,
right,
for homelessness or anything like that. It is not. It's not emergency housing.
Right.
It's longer-term housing to build financial stability.
Okay.
So, they do need to be prepared for that, and we do,
yep,
you know, that's the kind of thing we we convey in these sessions. So it's important, but we're always welcome. We welcome anyone to give us their email. We send out an email notification. We also involve contact a wide range of social service agencies, other nonprofits, and realtors, and so forth. So we try to make that known far and wide.
When I went through Somerset County's program that I just mentioned, the leadership program.
Yes.
They took us through Agape House. And we actually built them a kitchen as our project this year. But not only built them a new kitchen, a sustainable kitchen. We taught them how to cook. They taught them how to eat right. And there's things there, so
wonderful.
It keeps going on. But Agape House is really the people that show up in the middle of the night without a home.
Mm-hmm.
They still have to go to social services and get into a program, and they have to go out and look for work every day, and the children have to go to the Y or some preschool if they're not in school already. Would they be candidates for you, or would they be more of people who went through social services first?
Well, it's possible if they have a steady income at the time of their application and they're able to make the mortgage payments,
right?
So their debt to income ratio has to be reasonable.
Yeah,
they've been working for a year or so. They have a steady income. This is not going to be more than say 21% of their gross income, monthly mm-hmm. income, because we don't want to set people up for failure.
Right.
So we work with 21%. And but yes, certainly that just because they're at Agape House does not mean that they.
Okay, but they need all those other things. So most of the people that are there are destitute. I mean, they have no place else to go. And I know they told us that the very next morning they get them over to social services and whatever. They turn nobody away, but.
Right, but a year or two down the road.
Yes.
When someone is working and feeling good and all, and there's no reason.
So the two houses that are going up this year, what communities? One's in Franklin, you said?
Franklin Township, yes.
Okay.
And we're looking most likely Montgomery Township.
Well, that's a pretty high end. That's a pretty high end township.
We've been working with them. This takes a while.
Yep.
There's a lot involved in vetting the property, making sure that it's buildable.
Right.
With all of the environmental regulations and all of that, that there's enough land to accommodate a home.
Right.
We've built duplexes, and we are working. We've put 12 homes in Hunterdon County over the years. We're in several different townships. We have homes in Lambertville, Hampton, and West Amwell.
Okay.
Between 2000 and 2013 was
times
that we were building here in Hunterdon, and we're actively working now with a number of townships.
Okay.
Here to try to get a project going. So we'd very much like to have something going in both townships.
Right.
In both counties would be ideal.
Right. So there's different levels of ALICE too, I guess. There's really what I describe the low end, which would be somebody coming to Agape House in the middle of the night with no place else to go. And then there's people who just can't they can't find enough work to carry their burden. And in effect, then they're on some sort of social service to help them get through the month. And then there's people who have established themselves, have got a job, have got some credit, but are still below the income levels and meet all the criteria that you mentioned. And so it's sort of the upper end of the ALICE level that you're dealing with.
I think you could say that, yes. Okay. They're working.
Yeah.
They're working with a steady income. However, they're in low-wage jobs.
Yeah.
There are many low-wage jobs. We don't always – and then that's low-wage in relation to the cost of living.
Right?
So we're living in a very expensive area.
Right.
So you have people who work at the grocery store, people who work at the doctor and dentist's office.
Right.
People, would check in the dry cleaners, people we see every day. And not necessarily – and I also want to say people who work in corporations.
Wow.
One of our homeowners is, she still does work for Merck. This was about 12 years ago, was an administrative assistant at Merck.
Hmm.
And her income, she has four children, she's a single,
yep.
single mom, and she qualifies.
Interesting.
And so it's not always what we think.
No.
There are many white-collar jobs that are in relation to the cost of living in the area, do not give a person the income they need to afford.
And I think most people don't realize how expensive it really is.
I don't think they do.
If you earn $50,000 and you use that same 30% rule to get a mortgage, because we use that same ratio, mm-hmm. you can only afford $1,250. Mm-hmm. We mm-hmm. don't have anything that you can buy or even rent for $1,250. Mm-hmm. So you need to earn more than that. And now you're out of the Alice level as a single. As a family, you got to get over 76, I think, to get out of it. But you still have the same problems. We have a tremendously expensive place to live.
Yes,
so the fellow runs the mortuary here, DJ Wright.
Oh, yes.
We interviewed him as part of the Leadership 100 program as one of the small businesses. And I said, DJ, I had never met him before, and now we're friends. And I said, how many people die a year in Hunterdon County? He said, I got to count. I said, wait a minute, this is your business. You should be able to roll off a log with that. And he says, no, because I have to count all the people that went to Pennsylvania but still come back here when they die.
Oh.
And I said, whoa, what an aha moment. We're driving people just 20 miles away to almost in the edge of the community. They still get buried in a family plot at the end of the life, mm-hmm. but they're not living here because they can't afford
to
live
here.
That is...
Or they choose. I mean, look, there are different ways.
We have executives that do the
expensive.
Same thing. Yeah, it's an expensive place to live.
It's a very expensive place to live. And the transportation, as you say, many people
yes.
are traveling outside of the county to work. That there's a cost involved in that.
Right.
A vehicle, gasoline and so forth.
Well, I know even if you get into affordable housing, and we built, if you get gas at Costco, go down past the next light and look to the left, and there's something there called Flemington Meadows or something. And I went
yes.
in just to ask what the levels were because when I first saw it, I didn't realize it was affordable housing.
Mm-hmm.
As a single, you can't earn more than $36,000. And as a couple, roughly $50,000. And most people earn that in Hunterdon County when they retire. They earn more than that just from their Social Security, so they're not qualified. So
$36,000?
Mm-hmm. Well, two people.
Okay,
if two people worked.
Yeah.
But it's a pretty high level at 36. I would think in Middlesex it's probably more like in the low 20s. And we still have, you have both sides, people working in corporations like you just, and people who can't get there. And I believe some of the reason they can't get there is they just don't understand how to get there. And it takes a little bit of leadership within the community to help them get some training, go apply for a job,
yes.
say the right thing, dress the right way, and get a job.
Yes.
But if you're going to make the minimum wage, which is still under $9 an hour, you're
mm-hmm.
definitely not going to get there because
no.
that's not paying you $20,000 a year.
The statistics say 3.8 minimum wage jobs in order to afford
the
rent of $1,695 and also put food on the table.
That's amazing.
That,
and
so
you
have many people working two and three
and
jobs.
And we haven't talked about transportation, medical, communications.
Right.
That's just the rent and food
well,
on the
table. Well,
rent's
at 30%. They say
yeah.
manageable is 30% of your monthly income, yes.
Yeah. That's an amazing statistic.
It is amazing. People don't realize. So there's certainly a need. I think it's growing, if anything.
Yeah.
And we have a lot more work to do.
Wow.
But, in addition to the homes, you know, we've had incredible outcomes from meeting the basic need of a safe, affordable, decent place to live
mm-hmm.
Really has tremendous benefits throughout, you know, someone's quality of life provides.
Right.
In terms of health, there's so many studies that are showing more and more the effect of living in a damp, mold. There's
right.
many apartments with
right.
leaks and mold, and they're not maintained well. For children especially, develop chronic diseases, asthma, respiratory ailments.
Right.
There's a lot of infestation. Roaches here,
right.
In Flemington, in apartments in Flemington. I know that. I've seen it. So it's not something that is
right.
really too far away from us. It's right here that we, you know, really was shocking to me. And those kinds of things really can harm someone for life. Well, so it's really, really, there's so many positives of getting people into a healthy environment.
We had somebody come and talk to a Rotary from the food bank, and it was a Somerset food bank, so I'm in a Bridgewater Rotary. And they said something that amazed me, and I still discuss it with people to today, as I am today, that if you go hungry for a long period of time, that doesn't mean you didn't have anything to eat, but you didn't have enough to eat for 4 or 5 years. It takes that much time off the end of your life. It's a life-shortening event to go hungry. And I'm saying, I never knew that. I thought, okay, yeah, people all over the world, we're watching, as I said, the Victoria series, and we just went through the potato famine in Ireland where the whole crop failed and people overpopulated the area. And that's a catastrophe. This is just going hungry. Not having mm-hmm. enough good, nourishing food to mm-hmm. eat shortens mm-hmm. your life. Mm-hmm. It's amazing, A, count your blessings, but B, it's going on around you.
That's right.
We live in a high-end bedroom community to wherever people go to work. And people come home and go to work and come home and go to work, and they don't look to the side. But when I sat and listened to Alan Kearns tell me about what goes on in this county when we went through the leadership, and when I sit and talk to some of the social people that come up here and talk about the child trafficking and the human trafficking that's going on, mm-hmm. I say, in Hunterdon County, yes, it's going
yes,
on. You're
yes.
just not looking to the sides.
Or it's
all
hidden. It's hidden somehow.
Right.
And yes, as you say, we're all so busy, and
yeah.
you're just not seeing it. But I'm not surprised.
So if somebody wanted to get involved, what is the minimum level at Home for Humanity that they could get involved? Just call and volunteer?
Oh, absolutely. We're run by volunteers. Volunteers
okay.
are absolutely a critical part of the organization. We have all kinds of volunteer opportunities. So it's a very – and we're open to new ideas. So
right.
we have – volunteers working in the office. We have volunteers who help with family selection, family support.
Mm-hmm.
We provide support, and we communicate and stay in contact with all of our homeowners.
Okay.
So we have a committee who does that and gets involved as needed with homeowners to help them with issues that come up. We have a property acquisition committee. And I'd like to get back to that in just a moment.
Sure.
We also have a community relations committee, so people who can help us reach out to all types of organizations in the community, faith-based, civic, the Rotary, mm-hmm. Elks Clubs, Lions Club, help us get the word out and help recruit more volunteers, but also help to spread awareness and to make sure people know about the opportunity. So there's just marketing. Marketing is another great need that we have.
Mm-hmm.
So people, a graphic designer, someone who would like to help us design flyers and things like that, to help us with marketing strategy. We have a Habitat Restore now, which opened 4 months ago.
Wow.
We're also in that business, and it's wonderful. There are so many opportunities there. We have a whole community of people who are meeting one another and developing friendships
right.
by working at this Restore. It's in Manville. It's just a short drive. It's really
not
all that far.
I've heard about it.
And yes.
Somebody came in and talked to our Rotary about it, so I heard about it. So describe what a Restore does.
A Restore sells donated furniture, home decor,
okay.
Building supplies to the public at discounted prices, and the money will go back towards building homes.
So it's a fundraising opportunity.
Yes, it's a new revenue stream for us. So that's one we're very, very optimistic. It's going great, and there are beautiful things. We have a crew of volunteers who actually vet all of the donations. So
right.
they're choosy what they're taking, because
yep.
we want to provide for the public, and particularly low-income individuals, right? We love it when someone who is working hard but is having a tough time is able to purchase something
right.
that they could never afford otherwise.
Right.
And that's really what the homes are all about. They could never dream of having a home like this without the hand up that we give. And it's the same way with the store. And we're assembling all these wonderful stories
yeah.
of people who are getting these great items and are just so thrilled and happy beyond
yeah.
imagination
yeah.
that they're going to have this beautiful sofa that was someone else's in their home. So it's a way for people, and we pick up in Hunterdon and Somerset counties, to donate and to give a new life to their items, feel good about where they're going. They're going to sit in someone's home.
Right.
They're going to help fund more building and helping the community. And so it's really just wonderful all around. It's also a great place to find bargains.
Yeah.
People come in a couple times a week looking at bargains. We have we also have glassware and pottery, things like that, smaller items as well.
Wow.
It's really terrific.
And where is the ReStore in Manville?
It's in the marketplace at Manville.
Okay.
It's a shopping center. Some people might be familiar with where the Reading Cinemas.
Okay.
It's in that shopping center on the other end of the shopping center, right next to Walmart.
Wow.
It's really great.
So people come into the house. They qualify to go for the whole program. They wait at least a year, probably. They help build it five. They now get a mortgage and they own it, and now it's 15 years later, and end of life, whatever the situation, it's time to sell the house. What happens then?
Okay.
Does it have to go back to the organization?
It actually goes back to the municipality.
They
would work with the municipality, and we help connect them.
Occurs. Affordable housing.
Yeah, well, it is affordable housing. No, it's part of the affordable housing inventory.
Okay.
Yes, it absolutely is. So then it will, in most cases, it remains in perpetuity. Each township's a little different. Some of them have 30-year, I guess, qualification that will remain, but then oftentimes those are renewed. I think we're just coming up probably on the 30 years when affordable housing came into being, I'm going to guess. I don't know that date, that year offhand, but I believe so, and they can then renew. So they're able to sell the home to another qualified person, someone who's probably been on a waiting list, and it's allowed to appreciate a certain percentage each year.
Okay.
So the township works with them, the housing administrator or the certifying agency for the township will work with the homeowner to sell the home.
Wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful.
So because we love the fact that this home will sustain itself and its function and its role
so
in the community. To
one
provide
of the videos
an
I talked
place.
Watched today before we talked was about I learned a trade by going home to the Habitat for Humanity. I went down and learned how to spackle.
Great! Yes,
so
yes.
If people want to get involved with hands-on helping build the house, that's available as well.
It is available as well. We're welcoming people to join our Wednesday Thursday crew if they're available. They're working pretty much every Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay.
We also take corporate groups and civic groups and neighborhood groups. We do have a waiting list, however, because everybody wants to do this, which is just great. But right now, we do have a waiting list, and we're hoping as we ramp up building that we'll be able to, take on more and more people.
So
it's a great team building experience.
How does somebody get in touch with your organization if they want to get on that waiting list?
Okay. Well, they can email us at info@rvhabitat.org.
Okay.
You go to our website, which is rvhabitat.org.
RV for Raritan Valley.
Facebook page. Just do the, I don't know offhand the Facebook page. But we have a great Facebook page.
Wonderful.
Keep a track and go to our website. And there's many ways to send a message there.
Okay.
For volunteering and also, the good old-fashioned way with the phone. Our phone number is 908-704-0016.
And
for the ReStore, it's rvhabitat.org/ReStore.
Great. So now I've been driving the conversation. You came here to talk about things. What did you want to talk about that I haven't asked you about?
One of the challenges that we face is our need for property.
Okay.
I'm sure you're aware, it's expensive.
Right.
Need for affordable property. Buildable property, whether it's empty lots or homes that are abandoned. So we're really appealing to the community to help us find any ideas that one might have for locating properties.
The two properties that you're doing this year, how did you find them?
They're municipally owned properties.
Okay.
Okay, so that's been working well. and we continue to work with municipalities on that.
Right.
We're looking, I think I mentioned earlier, we're looking at any opportunity for foreclosures,
right.
Any opportunity someone with a large piece of land, for instance, might have to carve out a small piece.
Subdivide.
The homes are small. If we're building a single-family home, it's about 1,250 square feet.
Okay.
They're small. We are engaging with duplexes and multi-family units,
mm-hmm.
but there's a great tax deduction for many people in the higher income levels,
right.
for making a donation, or to work with us to sell it to us at an affordable price. Anyone who's aware of there are any banks who would be interested in working with us on foreclosures,
right.
It's a wonderful, wonderful story that we build with this.
Right.
So to be associated with giving the family this opportunity
right.
is a wonderful success story that just keeps on giving, because we see families grow up in these homes,
yeah.
graduate high school, right, go on to college. And there's a very interesting statistic that I was amazed with. But children of homeowners are 116% more likely to graduate from college than children of non-homeowners. So homeownership really empowers people. It gives people a stability, longevity in a house.
Right.
There's not fear that I have to move next year or the year after because I can't afford the rent anymore. My landlord is kicking me out. It's unsafe here.
Yep.
They have a stability for their children to really thrive.
So children of homeowners are 160%.
116%
more likely
to graduate from college.
That's an amazing number.
And we've seen it. And, you know, people who've had children in their homes and just, you know, seeing grow their families and their children off to college, and they come back and see us, and they're just amazing, amazing stories. So to be part of that, whether it's a business or an individual, we, of course, need to raise money.
Yep.
So donations of any kind, whether they're, you know, monetary donations of any kind, planned giving, being left in a bequest. Really, the important thing is that by giving to Raritan Valley Habitat for Humanity, you're helping build stable futures, which are going to benefit the community. So we're strengthening the community, and it's your local community.
Yeah.
So if you want to support your local community through Habitat, it's giving to Raritan Valley Habitat for Humanity.
Beautiful, beautiful. That's it's just so. And when you go out and see this, it's just so you want to get involved. You want to. Maybe you can't do something physically, but maybe there's something in your will that you could live when.
Absolutely.
Or maybe there's a piece of property that's attached to Grandma's house that you're trying to sell, like we called off and given to this.
Yes, that's exactly it.
Or maybe you just got a bunch of stuff in Grandma's house you don't know what to do with that could be given to this restore.
Yes, absolutely.
Restore.
Yes.
Where did the word restore come from?
It's a habitat. I honestly don't know,
okay.
but it is. There are habitat restores across the country.
Yeah.
Most major cities and even rural areas all over. So in your travels to other states, if you see a habitat restore, it's a great way to support that local community and families who are really motivated to improve their futures.
It's a wonderful story. I mean, just the statistics you came out, what it costs to have a $1,600 apartment in a thriving, developed county that we live in, our pair of counties that we live in, is just amazing.
Mm-hmm.
But the people are there. And this is what we were taught in the leadership programs, is that the person that's pumping your gas, the person that's ringing your donuts up, is probably one of these people.
Oh,
that they're
definitely.
All around you. It's
yes.
not like they're over there. They're embedded.
The
they're living
office,
in your blood. Yeah.
The grocery store and a plug for ShopRite. Yes. Our wonderful ShopRite is a great supporter of us.
They are great people.
Yes. Yeah, ShopRite of Hunterdon County.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Reggie here at Archie, I should say.
Archie.
Everybody knows Archie. Archie, I'm no youngster, and Archie fought in the Boer War before I was born. That's how old he is.
Wow.
And he's still greeting people when they walk into the shop, right?
Isn't that great?
Yeah, it's a wonderful story. Well, I told you it would go by like a shot in hand.
Yes, it sure did.
So we got a minute left. What would you like to say in your last minute?
I just like to thank people, those out there, for their support, including you, Joe, and the Hunter and Somerset County Association of Realtors, which I know has changed the name to CORE, I guess, which is great. You're joining forces with surrounding communities, and that's great.
Yep.
So I want to thank everyone for their support. Let me just quickly say, too, we've got a couple upcoming events. You know, we do fundraisers. We have Habitat Youth Club, which is active in Hunterdon Central High School and North Hunterdon and Voorhees.
Okay.
And they are putting on a Rainbow Run 5K run walk on Sunday, April 7th at White Oak Park in Branchburg.
Beautiful.
It's a great way to come out. It's a fun event. It's a family event. And it's called a Rainbow Run because in the course of the track, you will, and it winds through this park, there are stations where you are sprayed with non-toxic colored powder. So you end up looking beautiful like a rainbow. The kids love it. Adults love it also. And it's a great way to support Raritan Valley Habitat as well as the Habitat Youth who are working to help us. And just as an FYI, it's full this year, but keep an eye out for our Women Build. We have a Women Build once or twice a year, which is on a Saturday. Again, it's already full of people because it fills up fast, but that will be May 4th, Saturday, May 4th. It's a great way to build with other women and to raise money for Habitat. So if you know someone involved in Women Build, offer to make to support them by making a donation.
Okay, so once again, the site is rvpararitanvalleyhabitat.org, rvhabitat.org, and the phone number is 908-704-0016. It's not hard to find. Just look up Habitat for Humanity, Raritan Valley, or Somerset, or Hunterdon, and all of this is going to come up for you. Jan, thank you so much for coming on, and we're going to repeat this sometime in the next year with somebody that went through this process as a homeowner, wonderful, like you suggested. I think that's a wonderful idea.
Oh, yes, I'd love to have you here, homeowner. Thank you so much, Joe. It was a pleasure.
And guys, I'll be back next week with our monthly real estate update, and for now, thank you for tuning in.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
British Prime Minister Theresa May's Brexit deal was handed another defeat in Parliament on Tuesday, despite her last-minute effort to secure concessions from EU leaders. Now, this is just weeks before Britain is set to leave the EU. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says the Senate will vote on Thursday on the resolution blocking President Trump's declaration of a national emergency at the southern border.
It is no secret that the use of the national emergency law has generated a good deal of discussion, and we'll continue having those discussions.
At least 50 people are being charged in the largest college cheating scandal in U.S. history. That's according to U.S. federal prosecutors. So far, 33 parents have been indicted in the $25 million scheme where the parents paid bribes to get their children into elite universities. The ringleader of the entire operation is also set to plead guilty as well. This is USA Radio News.
Question, do you have a health insurance plan you are not happy with? Well, Bethany and Jason thought they were stuck. Their plan just kept getting more expensive, and Bethany's favorite doctor didn't even take that plan anymore. And then some friends at church told them about MediShare.
With our previous insurance, we were paying $1,200 a month. With MediShare, we now pay around $600 a month.
Yes, they're paying $600 less per month, and that's a pretty typical savings with MediShare. And they actually like MediShare more.
I was able to go back to my original doctor that I absolutely loved, and it's just been an absolutely beautiful thing being a part of MediShare.
Yeah, so they pay a lot less, and they like it more. No wonder MediShare is growing so fast. Find out more. They're super easy to talk to. All you have to do is call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE, 833-34-BIBLE.
The Centers for Disease Control is reporting that at least 228 cases of the measles have been reported since the 1st of January. Dr. Mark Siegel is a Fox News medical contributor. He has an easy way to avoid getting the measles.
If people take the MMR vaccine, their protection against measles is 97%. Yeah. And we need 90%.